Today, we are going to be casting a live-action Indigo League Pokemon movie with our choices. What's going on, Funhouse crew? Welcome back to the channel, TCG Funhouse, with a brand new episode of the Gym Leaders Podcast. I am Travis of TCG Funhouse here with my boy of TCG Funhouse.
I'm ASX, and I'm a guy. I've been around here on the channel for a little bit of time, and excited for this episode today. It's a different one. It's definitely a different one for sure. And I had to really think hard for this episode today.
We've been working on this episode for a while, so we really have. Like, it's been something that we were actually going to do, like, probably a couple of months ago before I took my break and stuff like that. And we came up with this idea to basically fan cast our very own Kanto region live action movie, based on the Indigo League. You know, I don't want to do a one for one or anything like that.
Yeah.
But Pokemon has released Detective Pikachu. They are going to be releasing Detective Pikachu 2, the first live action Pokemon movies. And they were, the first one, obviously, the second one's not out yet. It was a huge success. And they've pretty much announced that they're going to be doing more types of things like this. I believe they even announced a show for one of the streaming services. I don't remember which one. But, of course, ASX and I said, we need to figure out who we would cast, the perfect cast for an Indigo League movie, because I would think that would be the natural progression, maybe next in line after we're doing the Detective Pikachu stuff, right?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I could only dream for a movie casted by, honestly,
did you just do like the Italian, like the little, hey, master ball soup. Luigi.
I could go for one of these movies for sure. Like I was saying, with either the cast we put together here today, I think it's going to be a fun one. I'm interested to hear kind of, you know, why on some of your characters. I'm sure you're thinking the same thing of mine as well. I'm super excited today.
It's gonna be fun because, you know, I have had the pleasure of seeing ASX's list, because that sounded kind of dirty. Because I was the one who put these images together for our recording today. He has no clue who my list is, so my selections are gonna be a complete surprise to him. But before we start getting into our names and of the actors and actresses that we think are gonna be playing characters such as Ash, Misty, Brock, Professor Oak, the gym leaders. We're only going to go through like the primary characters, really, for the most part. I'm not going to worry about voice actors for Pokemon or anything like that. Like, that's just like way too in-depth and detailed. But just like the main, I think we have 13 characters that we're going to be going through today. But the breakdown is, when I'm thinking of Indigo League Pokemon movie, right? In my mind, I'm thinking this needs to be the start of a trilogy or even like four movies, you know, almost like the MCU for Pokemon. Like, Detective Pikachu was a great start. Some other offshoot movies would be fantastic. Maybe do like a live action Mewtwo's Revenge type of a deal. Those are kind of, you know, like remakes of the original anime movies and stuff that they could be doing coming down the pipeline as one-offs. But when you think of like a larger picture MCU, they have all of this anime for 8 generations that they've done, you know, with the 9th coming. So much source material. And I think that's where they need to go if they're going to be doing huge growth in the cinematic industry, which I think they have the clout for. They have the fandom for. They have the money for. Like, it's the number one selling multimedia franchise in the entire world. And they haven't really done cinematic movies. Like, imagine the gap they're going to create with number 2, which I believe is still Hello Kitty, in terms of now they're going to have cinematic universe on top of it. And the anime remakes is where we need to go. And of course, Gen 1er's Paradise, Kanto region, needs to be first, right? Agreed?
Oh, 100% agreed. 100% agreed. And, you know, I would say, you know, echo everything you just said. You know, busting out into the cinematic universe is the way to do it. And I think, you know, it, like you said, kind of in, you know, maybe like a 3 to 4 kind of movie series saga, if you will. I think would be pretty awesome. And I mean, yeah, you got to start it with the Indigo League. I mean, that's where it all started. You can't start anywhere else.
You just can't. You can't.
100%.
And some of it like bleeds too much into each other. So like if I'm going for my second movie, which depending, you know, we might do a follow-up. We might fan cast additional movies to see if we like this episode a lot and have fun talking about it. But like I wouldn't skip like straight into Johto. Like I feel like maybe there's not enough actual there to go from Canada to Johto. But I would like see maybe let's go straight to like Diamond and Pearl type era, you know, Hoenn region maybe. Black and White has like the best story ever. I could definitely see them doing a Black and White Kyurem based Reshiram Zekrom movie. Definitely something in like the Alola region, like tons of source material out there. So, but the reason why I bring this up is because what you're going to notice a lot about my selection is my main characters tend to be on the younger side. But at the same token, I didn't want to choose children, right? So we all know that Ash Ketchum is 10 years old, right? We all know that Misty and Brock and you know all the other characters are extraordinarily young, and I wanted to go older than that, but I didn't want to do adults because I want them to be able to be in the sequels, you know, for 3-4 years. And movies, you know, a 3-4 movies is going to take 10 years between shooting and editing and coming out and all that stuff. So I want them to be on the younger side, so I went with the range of like 18 to 22, 23 for my main characters. I believe you went a little bit older than that.
Yeah. The kind of idea I had behind everything, you know, and I've always wanted this, you know, a more adult, you know, Pokemon movie. You know, we definitely got a taste of that a little bit, I think, with Detective Pikachu for sure. But I think I, with my cast, kind of went even a little bit older than that. I would say average age range is probably like upper 20s to 30s, I would say, in my cast.
Which is cool, older ones because I definitely like having an older cast as well, because I think they did a fantastic job with the material in Detective Pikachu to where both children and adults can enjoy it. And that's what I'm looking for, because you know, I want this to be a movie. I want this to be a series, a cinematic universe that parents can bring their kids to, and they're going to bring every single to every single one. 1, 2, 3, 4, like every single movie, it's going to be every couple of years, they're going to see the new Pokemon live action movie, and they're going to follow it, and blah, 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 right? That's kind of my expectation here. And I think if you made the primary characters 10 years old, it would cut the adults out of the equation, and then they would just be kids' movies.
Yeah.
You know, don't get me wrong. Like, kids' movies are fantastic, but by making the cast a little bit older, you know, in the young adult range, you include the older generation of fans as well, which I think is key and super important in terms of these movies being successful, to where, like, you and I would bring my kids, but you don't have kids. So you would want to go see this movie, but, I mean, are you going to go see, like, the child, you know, a bunch of 10-year-olds running around like hunting Pokemon movie, you know, right. it would be a little weird.
Pokemon, you know, it is Pokemon, you know, so I probably would, you know, have to bring like my niece or something just so I didn't
We're
feel
here
super
for her,
awkward,
you know,
here for the kids.
Why is this creepy old guy in here watching this movie with all these kids in here?
But he's super ecstatic about the movie. He's super into it.
Yeah. why is he dressed up like Ash?
I totally would. But yeah, I don't even know what we were talking about at this point now.
We're talking about the movie, man. We're talking about the movie. Okay.
But yeah, I would go see that movie. Yeah,
so we're about to get into the casting here, and the characters that we chose, we're doing Ash, Misty, Brock, Professor Oak, Gary, and then we're going to go to the good old Team Rocket. We're going to do Giovanni, Jesse, and James, and then we're going to do the important gym leaders because they are iconic in each their own. So we're doing Lieutenant Surge, Erica, Sabrina, Koga, and Blaine. So we're doing all the major gym leaders, you know, the best friends, the professor, the rival, and Team Rocket. So we're getting all the important characters out of the way. So let's go ahead and dive right in to Ash Ketchum.
Yeah, I went with Kai Hong Lee. I'm not 100% sure how to say his name, unfortunately. But yeah, I went with him. He's from like Maze Runner,
yeah.
It is the really big one. He was on a show called Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt and on Netflix as well, among some other movies here and there. But I just really felt like he kind of fit the mold, you know, when it came to Ash. You know, kind of, you know, growing up, you know, I definitely kind of had a different picture in mind of like how these characters would look in that. But, you know, as I got older, you know, that kind of image changed for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was kind of spending all that time going through actors and looking through for all these, you know, all these different characters here, you know, he really stood out as somebody that I could see kind of fitting the mold as Ash. You know, his personality, I think, really fits well. You know, he's always seems, you know, very determined in that, in the movies that he's been in, the characters that he's played. So I just felt like, you know, he'd be a really good fit for our main role here as Ash. And, you know, I don't think he's really had kind of like a starring role like that quite yet. So I think that'd be kind of a cool, you know, kind of breakout movie for him.
I definitely think he was one of the standouts in Maze Runner.
He was
very good. And it's actually funny you chose him, because I actually looked at Dylan O'Brien for being Ash, but then I realized that he was just a little too old for me, for what I was looking for.
Sure.
If I would have been looking in your age range, I think Dylan O'Brien would have been a great choice for Ash. But I went ahead and I went with Jack Dylan Grazer, most known for being, you know, the foster brother of Billy Batson in the Shazam movies. You know, the kid that has the disabilities, and like his brother was like sticking up for him at the schoolyard and stuff. And my favorite thing about him is he just seems like a natural in front of the camera, and he's actually quite funny. He's a very funny character inside Shazam. And I think bringing that wittiness to Ash Ketchum, who, let's face it, he's always falling on his face. Like, he's always, you know, doing these silly, dumb things. But, like, he thinks they're always the right thing to do. But nine times out of ten, it's, like, not the right thing to do, you know?
Right. His heart is, like, 100% behind it all the time.
But his execution is always extraordinarily low. So I think he would be a great choice to bring this out. And honestly, I think Jack Dylan Grazer is going to be a huge star in the future. He's done a lot of great voiceover work for some Disney cartoon movies and things like that as well. And you can actually hear his emotion and stuff. I think he voiced Ron's Gone Wrong, the main character in that, which is one of my favorite cartoon movies. If you haven't seen it yet, go check it out over on Disney Plus. Very solid movie. And you can really feel his acting even through just an audio role, which is fantastic. So, and I'm with you with the exact same thing. I think both of these characters, or both of these actors, they've not had that starring role yet. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been like second or third or in like a group and stuff like that. So I think whoever obtains this Ash Ketchum role really, you know, is setting themselves up for like a big future. Like Chris Evans was popular before he was Captain America, but once he became Captain America, he was in a whole nother stratosphere. Same thing with Chris Hemsworth and Thor. And the guy who played Black Panther, what's his name? Please. RIP, he passed away.
Yes,
fantastic actor. But when he became Black Panther, totally elevated him, Sebastian Stan. So like when they pick up these major starring roles, it takes her career to the next level. And I think both of these gentlemen here would benefit from a role like Ash Ketchum, because I really do believe a Indigo League Pokemon cinematic universe would probably compete with something like the MCU or the DCEU or anything like that in terms of sales numbers, viewers, and all that stuff, if not even more so, because it's very kid friendly. So I think I think one of these guys getting the major role as Ash Ketchum would shoot their stardom into the stratosphere, and they'd be huge stars after this. Next up on the pipeline is Misty, Ash's best friend, who loves to punish him and tease him and mess with him. And of course, I had to go with, because I'm a huge Stranger Things fan, you know, Sadie Sink. She played Max inside Stranger Things, and I think she's another one of those actresses that is really poised for a massive breakout in the coming years. Again, she was part of an ensemble cast, and I do feel like she stood out compared to some of the other actors and actresses in the show. She definitely became a fan favorite, you know, as Vecna was chasing her in this final season. And I think she has such a bright future ahead of her. And again, she fits that mold for me of being able to look like she's 17, 18, 19 years old. And I think she is actually right around that age group as well. I think she's 19 or something, or 20. So she fits the age bracket that I'm looking for. Her and Jack Dylan Grazer would look very similar in age next to each other, which is what I'm going for, because you need to kind of play off that tension, you know, the, like that lover's tension that they have a little bit, but almost more like a couple that's been married for 40 years love tension, because they're always arguing and yelling at each other. But I think they would be able to pull that off great. And I think this would be a great way for Sadie Sink to show a second side of her, a more playing side as well, because she was such a serious character in Stranger Things with all the emotional trauma and stress that she went through with her life. This would be a really good way for her to show a playful side, you know, a children's acting side almost, where you can do the fun, entertaining stuff. And physically, she fits the mold perfectly. She's a natural redhead, just like Misty is. And physically, she matches. Age, she matches. And I think she totally has the acting chops to pull it off and be a major star. And again, getting her, just like Jack, one of these major starring roles in a big film would really put her trajectory, you know, her career in the proper trajectory. So who did you select, man?
Yeah, well, before I talk about my selection, I'm going to be 100% honest with you.
Yes.
I had this exact same Sadie Sink.
It almost writes itself, to be honest. This is kind of an easy gimme.
It really does. It really does. And to be honest, I switched it at the last minute, and I honestly had way more of a reason as to why Sadie Sink should have been Misty than Zendaya, my choice. Okay. But my thought behind Zendaya was, you know, she had just done the, you know, all the Spider-Man movies here. Yep. She's, you know, already, you know, up.
She's, you know, one of the biggest stars in the world right now.
She's huge right now.
Yeah, she's huge.
So my thought
right
was kind of, you know, let's bring in, you know, a huge star as, you know, the one of the main, you know, of the two supporting characters to the role to kind of help, you know, bring up that group a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, help kind of rise them up. And to be honest, that's really the thought I had behind it. Other than, you know, I told you I had Sadie Sink before, you know, physically pretty much fits the Misty vibes there. But then I kind of thought, you know, why not just switch it up? You know, why do these characters have to look like they looked like in the anime, right? So,
yes.
You know, I kind of figured let's switch it up a little bit. Zendaya is a huge, you know, popular star right now all over the world. Let's throw her in. She's going to bring the popularity, you know, to the movie here, and you know, just kind of help push it out that way a little bit more. So that was kind of my main thoughts behind, you know, putting Zendaya in here. But, you know, now I'm kind of, you know,
after you see it there, you're just like, here, oh, that looks like Misty, man. Like,
oh.
Yeah,
it totally does. So yeah, I would say, you know, I think when it comes down to it, I think honestly, I think you had the better pick here on this one.
I love your choice too.
Trying something a little different though.
I love your choice too though, because I like your thought process of giving like this pillar, right? Because she really is one of the biggest stars in Hollywood right now, and probably the fastest growing star in Hollywood, like period, like male or female, like it doesn't matter. She's already headed to the moon. So I think, you know, adding her to this type of movie would add more legitimacy to it, I guess you can say.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, because she's a proven actress, you know. So I love your selection. I really do. And I'm with you. I made a lot of my choices based on I wanted them to look like the characters that I grew up with, because it's super nostalgic for me. But I completely agree with you at the same token. It doesn't really matter what they look like. For me, it's like, okay, that looks like Misty. That looks like that. Like, I'm cool with that for my recognition. But like children going to the movie theater, they're not going to really like, they're not even going to notice the difference. And
the connection's not going to be the same that we make.
And if people are worth a damn, the adults aren't going to give two craps either. You know, excuse me.
Right.
But, I actually had the opposite thought process. I wanted my three major stars, which is Ash, Misty, and Brock, to be a little bit less known. And I wanted this movie to prop up their careers and give them an opportunity. And you're going to notice from the rest of my list that others are big stars that are going to be carrying the legitimacy here to where I almost wanted to go like Game of Thrones style, right? Where a lot of the main characters are not well known, but the side characters are quite famous, like Sean Bean playing Eddard Stark, and you know, in terms of that. But then the main stars like Jon Snow and Daenerys aren't like, this is like their first major role. I kind of wanted to go that vibe with Pokemon, so that way when you watch it, you don't go, "Oh, that's the girl from Spider-Man. That's the girl from Euphoria." you know, you go later on. Although I guess Stranger Things kind of beats that purpose, right? Sadie Sink is 100% Stranger Things. You can say that too. But I think Zendaya is on another level than Sadie Sink. Don't get me wrong. But I do love your choice. Great choice. And now we're going to do some Brock action. Everybody's favorite frying pan wielding friend, Brock. Who'd you choose, ASX?
Yeah, this might be an interesting one to some.
I hate your choice,
I went with Taylor Lautner.
I hate your choice.
I know he's not your favorite. I know he's not your favorite. And I'm telling you guys right now out there, it is not because of his roles in Twilight.
That's all right. We know what you do at night. You lay down, you put your head on your pillow, you pull out your Twilight books, and you got your little book light on with your werewolf on it, and you start reading. Good night.
All right. Don't tell everybody, man. Come on. No, but really, my thought behind him for this role actually comes from a role that he did on a movie called Ridiculous Six. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it. It's like a comedic Western type.
I think
movie.
It was a Netflix release, right?
It was. Yes. Yeah, it's with Adam Sandler. He's the main character and everything. It's hilarious. So go watch it if you haven't. But his character in there, it's kind of what brought me to Brock, because they kind of, not that they act similarly, right? But just like his, you know, his mannerisms and how he can kind of like break out of the box of like that Twilight character and play like a totally like funny character. You know, I kind of see, you know, Brock that way a little bit, and just like how he acts. And, you know, I definitely think, you know, as weird as it was, and if you watch it back in the anime, just how like girl crazy Brock was and how mm-hmm. persistent he was. I would definitely draw that back a bit, you know, in my
1000%. 1000%. Dude, stuff that was okay in 1999 and 2000, it's 2022 now, and they definitely would not write Brock in the same way.
No. I would definitely do a little bit of a callback to it, but like you said, bring it down like 1000%. But I think he could fit that role, you know, as kind of like the what is it, like the romantic, right? Mm-hmm. He wants to be that kind of romantic type of character as well. You know, I think he could play that. But then Brock is also serious, very, very serious in some aspects as well. And I think he could pull that off. I guess that probably comes a little bit from the Twilight. But, you know, I just think he's a really well-rounded character. And Brock just has so many different personalities about him that I think, you know, just based on what I've seen Taylor Lautner be able to do in his characters, I think he could bring that to Brock as well.
No. Nice try. This is the only choice of yours that I'm gonna shit all over, and I hate it.
All right.
I just can't do it. I just can't. For me, he is who he is. You know, every time you can't change the perception of somebody when it's been this long. You know, if Twilight came out a couple of years ago, I mean, I think Patterson broke away from the Twilight thing. I never think Lautner did. I think Kristen Stewart and Patterson were able to break away from that, especially once he was Batman. I think that definitely helped him break that mold. And he did a couple of indie movies. Like, he had to do a couple of indie movies to break the mold. They were not going to give him, Hollywood was not going to give him the chance on a blockbuster without him proving himself on the indie movies first, and Taylor Lautner has not been able to do that. So I am not ready to move him into...
this is his chance right now.
It's past. He's past. He's done. So I just don't see it. I think you and I, you know, guys like us in our early to mid-30s, and I know people are going to catch flack for this, so who cares about you mid-30 white males? But when we look at Taylor Lautner, we see something... And it can be a major turnoff. Like, if I ever saw Taylor Lautner was starring in something, I would not want to watch that movie, period. I just wouldn't.
I gotcha.
And a lot of people in our generation wouldn't either, because he's just not there yet. Very small side characters like he had in Ridiculous Six, sure, where he was just a complete parody of himself, yes. I'm going a similar route, though, in terms of what you were thinking character-wise. Brock is going to be my comic relief. Brock is going to be my comic relief in my movie, and I went with Tyrell Jackson Williams, most popular for being in a couple of Disney series, most famously for the show called Lab Rats. Have you ever seen Lab Rats?
I personally have not, no.
It's a good show on Disney where he is basically the comic relief for that show. It's a show where the scientists like you know, creates superhero teenagers. And like this kid is like the comic relief, was like the only one who knows that they're not real and that they're made superheroes. And he's like, oh, you know, he's just funny all the time.
Gotcha.
So he's doing the same thing in this movie for me, but he's also very naturally gifted on screen. Like his timing is fantastic. He has a brother. Like, do you remember the show Everybody Hates Chris?
Yeah.
His older brother plays that guy. That plays the kid. Okay. Everybody hates Chris. So that's his brother. So their whole family is like actors and actresses. And I think he's also due for a breakout coming up. He is like, I think he's in his mid 20s now. So he's a little bit older than my other two choices. But you can youngify him a little bit and make him a little bit younger. But
yeah.
When I'm thinking of Brock, I'm thinking comic relief, frying pan over his head to block the rain, the famous meme, you know. And I'm with you. I would tone back the stalkerishness a ton.
Yeah.
That has to go. But I can definitely see him still just like kind of like being goo goo gaga to every woman that he sees. Like he thinks they're all attractive, but like super respectfully. And not like, you know, creepy Brock, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. It's cringy if you watch back at it.
It really is. But I still like the thought of him just being somebody who is, you know, likes all girls, all women, all shapes and sizes and everything like that, and he treats them all the same with respect and love and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Or at the same time just being a buffoon, you know, just buffoonery across the board. And the way that I would write the movie, I would have both Misty and Brock be gym leaders first, and he, you know, Ash has to defeat them, and they join him on the journey, kind of similar, you know, and I would go that route for it. So I think it would be a lot of fun, and so Tyrell Jackson Williams is my choice here. Remember, guys, here on YouTube, if you're watching YouTube, make sure you comment down below who your choices would be for the live-action Pokemon movie. Okay, so now that we've talked about the big three, we're going to be a little bit quicker with our selections because we have 10 more people to get through, starting with Professor Oak, and I went with Sam Neill, everybody's favorite actor from Jurassic Park. And again, it just comes down to the fact where, for me, he literally looks like Professor Oak to me, like a spitting image. When you see him like wearing the lab coat inside Jurassic Park, like he literally looks like Professor Oak. And I mean, I don't need to tell you anything about Sam Neill's accomplishments. He's been a fantastic actor for decades in Hollywood. He's one of the people that I chose that I was telling you before of he can really boost the roster. You know, he's the elder. He's, you know, the professional that can come in and show the young star cast how to be stars because he's been in Hollywood for so long. He's been in big movies, big blockbusters. Jurassic Park, the original one, was one of the top five grossing films, I think, for 20 years or something like that before all this inflation started to kick in and yada, yada, yada. But, like, massively, massively famous actor here, and this could even potentially grab the attention of maybe, like, an older generation, you know, maybe grandparents who bring their grandkids to see the Pokemon movie can relate to somebody like Sam Neill. We know him. He's famous. He's my generation, that sort of a thing. So that's why I chose Sam Neill.
Yeah, I went a very similar route. Surprisingly, I also went Jurassic Park when I was thinking.
Where's the lab coat?
And I went with BD Wonk as my Professor Oak here.
Great choice.
And I was thinking more, not necessarily the BD Wong that we got in the more recent Jurassic Park movies, but the more positive spirited one that we saw early on, like Jurassic Park 1. So that's the mentality I want, you know, BD Wong to have in this Professor Oak role. I just feel like anytime I see BD Wong on TV, he's in a lab coat. So immediately I think it goes perfectly, you know, for Professor Oak here. You know, and I think it'd be cool to kind of see him in a little bit more quirky of a role. Professor Oak can definitely be very quirky.
Yes.
Says some weird things, does some weird things sometimes.
He's a very weird man.
But it's always funny. Yeah, yeah. So I just think, you know, he would fit the role pretty well. And, you know, also, you know, he's also a very well-known actor.
Yep.
Been in a lot of different things. I would
huge
say
range.
Probably most well-known for, you know, the Jurassic Park. I think he was also in a TV show, too. I can't remember. like a not Law and Order, but like one of those.
One of the. They're all the same. All those shows are the same to me.
SVU, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, he's got as well. He is a little bit older. I don't think he's probably as old.
Sam Neill's older.
Your choice here for Professor Oak, but yeah, but we can we can throw some grays in there. I think he probably has some grays by now, but we can throw some grays in there.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing too. Is like I always wanted to go with the physical appearance type thing, and like with today's makeup artists and CGI and all that stuff, you can make anybody look like anybody.
Pretty much. Yeah,
I love your choice though. I love your choice. I think he's huge range.
Yeah,
he's got, like you said, he's popular enough. He's been in Hollywood long enough again to kind of hold down the fort. And I think a lot of people, he has a big cult following. I think Sam Neill has more of a widespread fan audience, but BD Wong definitely has that huge cult following that people would go to the theaters for.
All right, so we just got done talking about some of the good guys here in our Pokemon movie, and now we are going to get into some of the baddies, some of
matches
the Team Rockets.
Matches
my background. So first off on our list here, we have Jessie. And for Jessie, I went with Jennifer Lawrence. I just think she has the attitude. You know, she has the look. You know, just kind of everything about her, like her personality and in the roles that she's done, I think kind of make her a fit for Jessie. Jessie definitely has, kind of an attitude sometimes.
Kind of.
Very stern about some things, especially when it comes to James. But,
yes.
I think she could fit that role really well. I think she could provide some comedic relief as well. Just kind of listening to her in some, like, interviews she does in that. She's really funny. So I think she could kind of provide that, you know, that quick, comic relief when we need it, especially when it comes to James. I think, we can dye her hair bright red and I think it'll look great. You know, that's kind of my thought behind Jennifer Lawrence for this one. I think she just kind of fit the mold really well.
You're right. She is absolutely naturally hilarious. She is like, for somebody who's not a comedic actress, she's gotten most of her clout from drama roles. She is hilarious in her interviews. And she is herself, and she is just a very naturally funny person. And I would probably say she is the number one actress in Hollywood right now, period. And with that being said, I kind of thought of her as well, but I didn't want to go that route because for me, she's a little too big. She's a little too famous for this role. Not saying that she wouldn't accept it. You know, I don't know her. She may love Pokemon and want to be a part of that. I don't know. But for me, again, I for some reason, I have this affinity for like mid-level actors and actresses that are way underrated or on their way up. You know, they're on their way up. And for me, I went with Anya Taylor-Joy, who, again, most famous, most popular for being in the Queen's Gambit television limited series, which is one of my favorite limited series of all time. She was so good in it. So good. Like, such. She has come onto the scene. She's been in other stuff as well, but, like, that's what really put her on the scene for that. And I think the show maybe have won a couple of Emmys or something. Let me know down in the comments if it did. But she was like, just showed up on scene and exploded and was like, here I am. And now she has more big blockbuster movies coming out. She's in an ensemble cast movie coming. Don't remember what it was, but I remember seeing her name and I was like, oh, yeah. And for me, she has the look of a Jessie. She looks like Jessie. She looks like if you just, like you said, if you put that bright pink hair, that bright pinkish red hair on her, put it in that weird cork, and she would be able to just knock out this just over the top, like mean, funny person. You know, she's a mean, funny person is what it is. And I think, you know, she would really be able to fix that, you know, attack that character and bring it to life very, very well. Like, what do you think of my choice? What do you think of Anya in this role?
No, I think that is actually a fantastic choice. Again, you know, I think she fits the mold very well. I like the fact that, and I think you're right, now that I think about it a little bit more, for Jennifer Lawrence, this role might be kind of on the lower level for it's not a breakout, you know, or it's not a,
could be a good
leading
payday,
role.
Though.
Could be. It's Pokemon.
That's right.
But yeah, I think maybe somebody a little bit more kind of at that level of like really just about to break out of everything. I think would be a fantastic match. So yeah, I think your choice is great for this one. And I may have used her in a different role later on.
Ooh,
that we'll talk
we'll
about.
We'll just have to see. We'll have to see. You can't have Jesse without James. So now it's time for us to fan cast James in our live action Indigo League Kanto region Pokemon movie. And I went with Aaron Taylor Johnson, which is kind of funny because Jesse, I got Anya Taylor-Joy, and then here I got Aaron Taylor-Johnson for James. So you guys know him the most for the movie Kick-Ass, and he was also Quicksilver in Age of Ultron MCU. But the one movie that I saw recently that really made him really made me realize how good of an actor is I just saw Bullet Train, the Brad Pitt movie, and he is phenomenal in this movie. Brad Pitt's great. But for me, in this movie, Aaron Taylor Johnson stole the show, and he was so good with his British accent and very funny. It's a very funny, like almost like Guy Ritchie-style movie, Bullet Train is, and it's so good. And I would almost have him be the same character, but like toned down, because like the character he does in Bullet Train, he like curses a lot, and like there's a lot of blood and all this kind of, it's a very rated R movie. So I would tone that way down, but just his comedic timing was phenomenal. So he was funny, and James is always the brunt of Jesse's jokes and Jesse's actions, and I think he'd be able to pull that off very, very well. I think him and Anya Taylor-Joy would look fantastic next to each other with their pink and purple hair, and I just think it would be great.
Awesome. I do like that choice. I really do. And I've not seen Bullet Train, but I definitely got to see it now.
It's awesome.
Because it sounds awesome. So I'll definitely check that out. So for my, I almost said Jesse, for my James, I went with Ben Schwartz, best known for, he was in Parks and Rec, so that's probably what he's most known for. But more recently, he was in Netflix's Space Force, which was a hilarious show. And I am just thinking about James and how he acts, and he's funny and crazy all the time, getting into so many shenanigans all the time, you know, mostly because of Jesse and things that happen. But I just think Ben Schwartz fits that role. He's funny, he's weird, he's quirky, and that's exactly who James is. You know, from time to time, you know, we even see James, you know, dress up in some pretty extravagant clothing.
Yes.
And I think Ben Schwartz
very
could do that and pull it off. Very controversial. But I think Ben Schwartz could really do that. And it just, he just has like kind of the mannerisms of James and everything, you know. So just based on his comedic style, I mean, that's really all I've ever seen him in. I don't think I've really ever seen him in much of a, you know, serious type of role. So I just think he really kind of falls into the shoes of James, because I can't really think of a time when I saw James as being too serious. There's maybe one or two like instances of it, but I mean, he's just kind of going off the rails all the time. And that's pretty much what Ben Schwartz does in every single role that he's been in. So that's why I went with Ben Schwartz for my choice.
So I'm not going to lie, this is one of your selections who I didn't really know them very well. I am not much of a sitcom watcher. I don't watch a lot of sitcoms. I'm a movie guy. I love fantasy, sci-fi, drama, thrillers, and I'll do comedies from time to time. But I haven't been a sitcom guy like ever. You know, I'm familiar with Friends and Big Bang and all that kind of stuff. So I'm trusting your gut here on this one. He looks like he would fit the role, and I have heard his name before. I'm just not super familiar with him. All right, so we just went over the comedy side of Team Rocket, but it's time to get a little bit serious. The boss man himself, Giovanni.
Yeah, so for Giovanni here, you know, I kind of had a little bit of trouble with this one. I wanted to find somebody, you know, who was really serious, could be mean when they need to be, because Giovanni is definitely not a very nice person. And I kind of, you know, thought about a few different people, but I really landed on Christian Bale. He has done a lot of different movies where it's called like method acting, right? Where you like, you really get into the role that you're in. And he does that fantastically. And just from all of his roles, I feel like the majority of them have been very serious roles. You know, even going back to kind of like, you know, American Psycho, where I kind of get his
one of my favorite movies of all time.
His personalities for Giovanni from that movie. But then kind of like the seriousness and the darkness that Giovanni has from kind of like, you know, like the later Batman movies when, you know, he's kind of, you know, more of a developed, you know, character and got a lot of darkness about him, you know, kind of drawn off of those movies. I think he could step into this role very well. I think maybe he'd have to bulk up a little bit, but
let's be honest for a second. Christian Bale can be in anything he wants to be in. He can be any character. Like you said, he's so good at method acting. He can literally be an anorexic machinist in the movie The Machinist, where he lost like 100 pounds and literally weighed like 79 pounds while shooting.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. I heard his diet was like one boiled egg and like a half a cantaloupe or something a day, and that's all he had.
Like, if that man, like you see bananas. That movie, that he's nearly transparent.
And then, and then like you said, he can bulk up. Well, he put on some weight to play Batman, you know?
Exactly.
He put on another from all that. It was just insane. Insane.
Yeah.
But I actually went with Josh Brolin. I think Josh Brolin is one of the most intimidating figures in Hollywood. He's got the ability to just command a room and just be like an asshole, but like without being mean, you know? And I feel like that's kind of Giovanni's thing.
Yeah.
Like he's an asshole. He's the CEO of the corporation. He's the big head honcho, the big kahuna, but like he's not just straight mean. He's just powerful. He just comes off as power. And I feel like Josh Brolin in many of his roles has been able to pull that off. You guys know him as Thanos. He was just Cable in the Deadpool movies. He's been in so many movies. It's ridiculous to even go through all of them. But he looks great in a black suit and some slicked back black and gray hair, some salt and pepper action going on. And I can just see him just being very controlling of Jesse and James and just taking that whole relationship. And just it would probably be the relationship that stole the movie. The Team Rocket stuff would be super memorable with the three actors working together, being funny, quirky, and then demanding for Giovanni, carrying his Persian around. It would just be fantastic. I think Josh Brolin would be a great Giovanni. All right, it's time to talk about everybody's favorite rival in Pokemon, and that is Gary. Talk about someone being a true asshole. It ain't Giovanni. It's Gary. So I went with, I always say Timothy Chalamet, but apparently it's like Timofey. Like, I'm not sure. They pronounce it a little bit differently. It's even spelled with like an F and E-E or a T-H. Timofey Chalamet. Huge. Exactly. Bless you. Huge up-and-coming star. He just starred in the Dune movie, which we're getting a sequel for the Dune movie coming out. Side-by-side with Zendaya, actually, so it'd be cool to see them. In real life, apparently, they're really good friends, so if Zendaya is the choice for Misty, Timothy Chalamet being Gary would be a cool little dynamic again to see them like back at it together. And I just think Chalamet has the ability to just be a straight-up jerk. I think he would fit right into this role of him. He looks like a jerk, and I think he's got the ability to just act like a jerk, even though apparently he's like super nice in real life. But he looks in the movies that he's been, he just has this power and this ability to just be a jerk. And that's the main reason I chose him, because he's the true villain of this story is Gary. Team Rocket is there, but a lot of times they're too funny. Gary is just a butthole through and through. So Timothy Chalamet is my choice for Gary.
Yeah, I kind of went a little bit of a different route when I was thinking of Gary and who to cast for him. And kind of what I always thought of is Gary, thinking back to the anime and everything, he always seemed like the ladies man, right? Like everything that like Brock couldn't be, like Brock wanted, like all the ladies walking around him and cheering his name, Gary, he's our man and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, Brock never got that. So that's kind of the route I went, you know.
Poor Taylor Lautner.
Right? Poor Taylor. But yeah, that's kind of the route I went. You know, that was kind of the Gary I wanted to fulfill. So actually, when I was making this list, I was watching an episode of Stranger Things, and Steve the Hare Harrington popped up on screen. And, you know, immediately just thought Gary, you know, Gary's big old hair that he had and everything, you know, Steve kind of, you know, fit the mold for me right then and there. And I think he can be, you know, the asshole. You think of him kind of on
season one
in Stranger Things. Yeah,
jerk.
Exactly. Season one, complete jerk. So I think he could pull that off as well. But the big thing for me, honestly, was the hair. So that was my big choice behind Gary here, and kind of, like I said, the, you know, kind of the more ladies man Gary.
Yeah,
is what I was thinking.
Definitely ladies man, but still definitely a jerk, because he is nothing but mean to the trio all the time.
Right.
Kind of like, hey, cool, you won that. I beat the guy 2 weeks ago. Like, come on.
Exactly.
You know, that's always his personality. Great choice. I think Joe Keery is a great actor. The big up-and-coming actor, and what I like is he fits your age bracket of your guys, too, to be about the same age as your Ash and your Misty. And same thing for Timothy with mine. He can definitely jump down to be an 18, 19-year-old kid. So,
yeah.
Both great choices, I think.
All right, you guys. So now we are getting into the gym leaders here. We have named off all the other main characters of our series here. So now it is time to get to the main gym leaders, and we're going to start things off here with Lieutenant Surge. And I have always thought that my pick here has always looked like Lieutenant Surge in all the different movies he's been in, mostly from like the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. But my choice is Dolph Lundgren. I don't know why, but he has always had like the Lieutenant Surge face for me. Like any movie that I had always seen him in, you know, growing up as a kid, I would always be like, that guy looks like the Lieutenant Surge. So honestly, that's the main reason why I picked him. I think he could pull it off. Lieutenant Surge in the movies, or in the show as well, is much older,
yes.
You know, than you know, a lot
pretty
of the other
everyone
people
else, yeah.
Pretty much everyone else, you know, so Dolph, he's getting up there now. I think they would have to kind of, you know, de-age him a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
with some
movie magic. But I really think, you know, he could, I think he could fit the role well.
It's,
and I just think he's got that kind of attitude for it.
It's a cool choice because he's another one of those, guys that's like super nostalgic, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, he's very recognizable.
Been around the block.
Yeah, he's very recognizable for the older people. And for us in our 30s, he was very famous in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s. He was, you know, he was like that one step below Schwarzenegger and Stallone.
Yeah.
And then you had Lundgren like underneath a little bit.
Yeah.
But he was just in the Expendable movies and he was fine, you know.
Yeah.
And that was not that long ago. You're talking maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago for Expendables. And he held his own in those movies. So I can definitely see him pulling off here. But I'm going with Stephen Lang, most popular for being the lieutenant in the Avatar movies. My favorite role that he did was he was in those Don't Breathe movies, Don't Breathe and Don't Breathe 2, where the kids break into the blind man's house, and he is like the scariest blind man in the world in that movie.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like
those are intense.
It's intense. And that's what I think of when I think Lieutenant Surge. I think intense. You know?
Yeah.
And like you said, physically, Stephen Lang just looks like Lieutenant Surge. Like, even from his
Avatar. I mean, look at that picture you got up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty much like you already cast him
and
you took the picture.
That's exactly what I did. You know? I called him and I was like, bro, you're in this movie. He was like, cool. And he sent me the selfie.
There you go.
No, that's a shot of him in Avatar where he basically wore the exact same regalia that they would in as Lieutenant Surge. So I was like, this is the perfect image for this. But yeah, I went with Stephen Lang. Just physically he matches, age he matches, and intimidation factor he matches. So that's my choice. All right, so now it's time for the arguably the most popular gym leader in the Kanto region with Sabrina, everybody's favorite ghost-type gym leader. And I went with Jamie Chung, most popular for being in the Gotham series and the Gifted series. And for me, a lot of the characters that she's played, even like in general, have been like kind of creepy, like ghost trainer movies for me, or shows for me, you know? Physically, she fits the mold. Sabrina has always been like this, like, little cute girl, but like was also like very scary at the same time. I think Jamie Chung would be able to pull that off perfectly. Like, just have the innocent look, like that super innocent look, and then just being like creepy and scary on top of it. So I think Jamie Chung would fit perfectly in this role. And yeah, I mean, that's what I'm going with.
Yeah. Awesome. So I took one of your choices from earlier and put it right in this slot here. I'm going with Anya Taylor-Joy for Sabrina here. And, you know, it honestly it comes from her role in King, and I almost call it King's Gambit, Queen's Gambit.
How dare you. The king is, you know, terrible
with her,
chess.
With his, or with her, just her seriousness about the role. You know, Sabrina, to me, was always a very serious character in the animes. Yes. And I think if, you know, you just put that Sabrina wig on her, I think, you know, she kind of fits that mold as well. And I think she can really just kind of pull off that whole persona.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, with the whole ghost type trainer, I just feel like that's the type of trainer she would be. You know, so simply put, I went with Anya Taylor-Joy.
I like your choice here. I like your choice here. I love Anya Taylor-Joy, period. I think she can be in multiple roles. I think Jesse for my selection and Sabrina with your selection, she'd be able to do both of these fantastically. And I kind of like her almost as Sabrina a little bit more because I think she does have that creepy vibe that she can pass off. With the dark hair, pale skin, she can definitely pull off that creepiness ghost trainer vibe. I'm with you, but I'm sticking with Jamie Chung.
All right, you guys. So we are talking about everybody's favorite fire gym leader now. And we are talking about Blaine. And for my choice, I went with Jim Carrey. And you might think, like, that's kind of a weird choice, right? But my inspiration 100% comes from Sonic the Hedgehog movies. You know, both one and two. And I think in two that just recently came out, I think he kind of looks even more like Blaine. I just kind of think back to Blaine, some of the Blaine cards in the TCG, more or less the Blaine cards in the TCG than I guess maybe more in the anime. You know,
the video games too.
In the video games, yes, as well. He kind of has like that evil scientist kind of vibe to him. You know, he's got those big glasses on. He's got the crazy mustache that goes out kind of like the, you know, like a Wario mustache almost, or like a big bushy one, just like, you know, I can't even think what the guy, what his name is, character name is in Sonic, but
Eggman.
You know, just like him. So, thank you. So
Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah. Perfect. Exactly. That's what it was. simply put,
it's a great choice.
You take him out of Sonic, put him into Pokemon, and I feel like that character fits, really.
Absolutely 100% agree, and that's why I did not choose him for this role, because he already has a very similar character that he plays in Dr. Robotnik. So it'd almost just be like transposing Eggman over to the Pokemon movie.
But Pokemon's better. So I agree.
It would probably be fine. He would do a fantastic job. It's Jim Carrey. Again, he's earned his right to pretty much do anything in Hollywood that he wants to. But I went with Taika Waititi. Most popular, he was in the Free Guy movie where he was hilarious. He's the voice of Korg. He has been, I think he directed and produced the last two Thor movies, where his comedy style really comes in those Thor movies. And I can definitely see him carrying that comedic style over to Blaine, because Blaine is a funny character.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize this, but Blaine is 100% a funny character. Like, when you go do his little game show stuff, like, it's very slapstick. You know, he comes off as a very scary looking person. He's like this old scientist guy, but he's quirky. He's hilarious. He's funny. And I think Taika would be able to pull that off perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. Yeah. I think he's got the personality that would just fit that role. And you don't need to put him as like a linchpin of the series. He can just kind of be like a one-off character. He's a gym leader in the Kanto region. And then you don't need to see him the rest of the 3-4 movies that we have planned. And I think he would be completely okay with that. And he seems to me like he would be a fan of anime and a fan of Marvel just in general.
Yeah.
And he would understand it. He would get it, you know. So Taika Waititi is my choice for Blaine.
Yeah, that's a great choice. And I was just going to say, if we can't get him in, you know, for the Blaine role, maybe we can get him to direct the whole movie.
That's right. Oh, that would be cool. Maybe we could do both. Cameo as Blaine and direct it. I'm down.
There we go.
Totally down. Okay, so now we're going to go with probably, do you know anybody whose Koga is their favorite trainer in Kanto? I really don't. I feel like he's kind of like an afterthought.
Yeah, to go up against, maybe, because it takes like maybe 30 seconds to beat him.
Yeah, he's the easiest trainer by far. But Koga, we're going to go with, I don't know how to say this name, so I do apologize. I believe it's Simu Lu. Right? Does that sound about right?
I think so.
So
I think so. That's how I would have pronounced it, yeah.
Yeah, so I apologize if I butchered the name, but he's the actor for Shang-Chi. He's the guy that played Shang-Chi in the MCU, and he did a fantastic job. He's one of the most up-and-coming Asian actors in the entire world, and I think he's going to be starring in tons and tons of movies moving forward, including more MCU pictures. Obviously, Shang-Chi was a huge success. Surprised me. I went from not being very excited to seeing it, watched it, thought it was good, and now I'm excited to see what he does as like maybe part of an Avengers cast. Just having that familiar face here and watching him do fantastic as Shang-Chi, I think he can definitely hold the fort down as Koga. He's got the martial arts style, you know, he's got that ability in him, which Koga's the fighting type gym leader. So I think that fits right there. And this is actually the only character where we chose the same actor.
We did. Yeah, I was kind of surprised.
Me too.
You know, when I saw that. So, but yeah, I kind of, you know, I had the same kind of mindset behind it, you know, with the whole Shang-Chi movie came out. Fantastic movie. I absolutely loved it. He did a fantastic job in it as well. I'm really excited to see, like you said, you know, where he's going to be able to go, you know, after this, you know, outside of Marvel, but also, you know, with Marvel and that whole universe that's going crazy right now, too. So it's going to be super exciting to see more of him there. You know, but when I got to Koga here, you know, immediately just went to, you know, I got to think of somebody that, you know, kind of fits in the kung fu realm.
That's what
you know,
I thought
the martial
too.
Arts type of realm.
Martial arts.
And originally thought Jackie Chan, and I was like, no, Jackie,
he's
getting up there. He's getting up
there. He's getting up there.
I know he'd be doing all his own stunts and everything, which would be awesome. But
you got Koga doing a lot of stunts in this movie?
Koga's going to be doing backflips, front flips. He's going to be doing kicks. It's going to be awesome. You got to show them off a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
You know, like as they're walking into the gym, you know, you got all the guys like working out on the side, and then you got Koga in the background doing all the crazy stuff.
Heck yes.
It's going to be awesome. That's really what I went with. And like I said, I was like, I can't really go with Jackie Chan. You know, he's been around the block like.
Yeah. And you already went with Jim Carrey and stuff too. So like, I feel like Jackie Chan is very similar to Jim Carrey in terms of like age and like clout and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, naturally I thought of like the next kind of martial arts type of movie that I saw and went right to Shang-Chi. And this was the natural choice for me. I think he falls in line really well with like the age range that I was going with also, you know, especially for the trainers, because all the trainers are going to be a little bit older for the most part. So, yeah, that's why I went with him. I think he'd be a fantastic choice.
It was a great choice.
You agree with
me. It's a great choice. I think I'm going to give you this one. I'm going to let you say that you chose the better guy.
Thank you. At least I get one.
All right, so time for the last gym trainer on today's list, and is everybody's favorite innocent grass-type gym leader, Erica. ASX, who did you go with, man?
Yeah, I went with Kelly Marie Tran from Star Wars, and I see that you had a similar thought on the Star Wars types of things here.
My Star Wars character is better, though.
You know, I went with Kelly Marie Tran. Again, and I did this a lot with, you know, with the gym leaders here. I honestly went a lot on kind of looks and kind of how I pictured them, you know, from the game and the animes and everything like that. And I just kind of landed on Kelly Marie Tran. I think she, you know, kind of fits the role really well. She can kind of definitely play, you know, kind of that cute kind of grass type, gym leader. And I think, you know, just her personality lends really well to being a grass type trainer also. And I just, honestly, that's who I saw. I didn't have anybody else in mind for this role other than Kelly Marie Tran. So that's who I went with.
It's a good choice. It's definitely a good choice. And, of course, you guys know I went with Daisy Ridley, another Star Wars actor, as you said.
Yeah.
Except I chose the better Star Wars actor.
And we'll let the people down in the comments make the decision on that.
That is right. We're going to fight. But, yeah, so for Erica, I went with Daisy Ridley. And what I kind of did for my gym trainers, and I kind of went the same way we're here with Daisy Ridley, is I wanted to find somebody that was recognizable but was not so famous that they were going to steal the movie, right? Because I want the movie to be about the trio and Team Rocket. Like, those are the two things that I want my viewers to relate with the most, but I didn't want to have just nobodies in these other roles either. So I didn't want them to be like super famous, super popular. And at the same token, I didn't want them to be nobodies that nobody's ever heard of. So I almost wanted them to be like, oh, you know, I know who this is. That's really cool that they're in this movie for 10 minutes, you know, because let's face it, the gym trainers are not going to be in the movies for very long. They're going to be in for 10, 15 minutes during a scene where they defeat the gym or Ash defeats the gym or some kind of drama is taking place, something like that.
Yeah.
And I think just that little recognition of somebody like Daisy Ridley, the Star Wars actress, would be fantastic. And I think, again, physically, I'm with you. I wanted to find somebody who physically fit the mold of what I thought when I think Erica and Daisy Ridley with the brown hair. I chose her here wearing a green top to kind of sway you guys into thinking she's a grass-type gym leader already. And I just think that she would fit the mold. She's got the chop. She's well known enough, and she fits right in that perfect slot I was looking for. So that's it, guys. That is our fan casting of a live-action Indigo League Pokemon movie that takes place in the Kanto region. If you guys want to see us do a number two movie, right, whether it's the Hoenn region or the Black and White games or Alola, like, we'll figure out what we're going to do. But if you want us to do another one of these, let us know down in the comment section right after you click that subscribe button and that like button. Let us know down there in the comments, what was your favorite choice? Who did you like the most? Who would be your Ash? Who would be your Erica? Let us know, guys, down below. And who had the better list? I know it's going to be me. I know you guys are going to go with my choices.
I don't know about that.
Like, have you seen the list,
bro? It's going to be close. It's going to be close. You're just mad that I put Taylor Lautner on my list.
That's true. If anybody down there thinks that Taylor Lautner needs to be Brock, is going to get blocked immediately. And
I will unblock.
So rude, bro. Like, I bring you on and you're already taking over that sort of stuff. But yeah, guys, no, I think we both had very good lists. I think both of our movies would be absolutely fantastic. And I think Pokemon needs to jump on creating an Indigo League movie for us so that way we can feel all the nostalgia. Again, I love that they're doing these like side missions with Detective Pikachu and all that kind of stuff, but we need the guts of Pokemon. We need it in live action, and this is where you start.
Yeah.
One last thing, ASX, what do you got to say before we get out of here?
I hope you guys want us to do another one of these. I had an absolutely fun time like putting this list together, talking through it here today. So I hope you guys liked it. And I'm excited to see if you guys want us to do another one.
I just want to say as well that I'm very surprised that when we were talking about Blaine, ASX wasn't like, I just think this guy would look the best standing next to his Arcanine. You know, like
to talk about Arcanine this episode, but if you want to talk about Arcanine, we can talk about
Arcanine. You're cut off. See you guys later.